Welcome, everyone. I declare the meeting open and advise the public that in accordance with the Council's Code of Meeting Practice, Council meetings are recorded and the audio is webcast live on Facebook. The entire chamber is included in the audio recordings, and visitors in the gallery may have their voice captured and webcast. By attending a Council meeting, you consent to your speech or other personal information being captured and webcast. For this reason, I advise that any opinions expressed or statements made by persons during the course of this meeting are the opinions or statements of those individual persons and are not opinions or statements of Council. All persons should refrain from making any defamatory remarks. Council accepts no liability for any defamatory remarks made during the course of the Council meeting. Furthermore, all persons should refrain from making public comments about another individual without seeking the consent of the individual beforehand. Council acknowledges the Wurundjeri people as the traditional custodians of this land we are meeting on today, the elders past, present, and future. We also acknowledge the Awabakal people to the east and the Darkadjong people to the south, and other Aboriginal peoples who now live within the Sestok Local Government area. There are no apologies. Confirmation of minutes of the previous meeting. Move Councillor Sander, second Councillor Burke. I'll put that. All in favor? That's unanimous. Declarations of interest. Councillor Saval.
Thank you, Mayor Pinson. In report number PE20/2020, declare a pecuniary interest as I own property near the development site and will not participate in discussion. And further, in report number GMU9/2020, I'll declare a non-pecuniary less than significant conflict of interest as my sister is an employee of Justice Health at the Cessnock Correctional Centre, and I'll choose to remain in the chamber and participate as it has no impact on her employment.
Councillor Fitzgibbon. Councillor Fitzgibbon.
Unmuted by host.
You're all right.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Thank you. There's something going on my end, so I'll just say I have four conflicts. So I have report number PE20/2020, which is in the Class 1 appeal in the New South Wales Land Environment Court. I'll declare a non-pecuniary interest significant conflict, as I have a very close family friend that lives in the vicinity of the proposal. Therefore, it would not reasonably be regarded my decision was not influenced by this, and I will leave the meeting. I have BN25. It's non-pecuniary significant conflict because, again, I'm a business owner in Vincent Street, and it would not reasonably be regarded my decision was not influenced by this. PE16/2020, it is the draft Cessnock Citywide Infrastructure Contributions Plan, a pecuniary interest, as I am a part owner in land at Nulkebar. And PE18/2020, planning proposal 8 Curlew Street and 39 Pinchant Street, Nulkebar, again, pecuniary interest, because I am a part owner of land in Nogarbar, and I'll leave the meeting.
Thank you. Councillor Olsen.
Yeah, Mayor. Yeah, Mayor Pinsent, can you hear me there?
Yes.
Yep. I declare a in report number WI36/2020. The report title is Vadley Park, Carmichael Park, Western Park Master Plans. Eileen Olsen declared the following interest, a non-pecuniary interest, less than significant conflict for the reason that I have three grandsons playing for Western Bears. I choose to remain in the chamber and participate in discussion and voting as the conflict has not influenced me in carrying out my public duties because this is a benefit to all the community and they may not be there for the long haul.
So I'll declare on PE 2020, the Class 1 appeal in the Land Environment Court, non-pecuniary significant interest in that a close family friend is an objector. With that, I will leave the chamber. Councillor Burke.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I have a declaration for BN 25-2019, the report of time parking in Charlton Street. I have a non-pecuniary interest, less than significant, because my business is contracted by the Cessnock Chamber of Commerce, and I choose to remain in the meeting as it will not influence the way I vote tonight.
Yeah. Okay, there's no more that I'm aware of. Thank you. I'll now call for a procedural motion to move into the confidential session. Move Councillor Burke, second Councillor Gray. Put that, all those in favour. It's unanimous. Okay, so we open the confidential session. We're just waiting on the tape to be turned off.
Councillor Pinsent, you're still on mute. Councillor Pinsent, you're still on mute.
NI 4 2020, Notice of Intention to Deal with Matters in the Confidential Session. We need a mover and a seconder. Move Councillor Gray, second Councillor Lyons. I'll put that, those in favour. It's unanimous. Thank you. We're going now. We move back into confidential. We've got a mover and a seconder. Councillor Gray and Councillor Stapleford, I'll put that, all those in favour. It's unanimous. Back to you, Deputy Mayor.
Thank you, Mayor Pinson. I'll check the room.
Yeah.
Need to wait for the recording here. It takes a little while to get back into open.
Okay, so we've continued the meeting with the General Manager explaining the decisions from the confidential session.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. In relation to report PE20/2020, Council resolved, one, that Council notes the advice received from the confidential report for New South Wales Land Environment Court Appeal number 2019/48676. Two, that Council enters into consent orders with applicant for approval of the amended application subject to agreed conditions, option two. The second reporting confidential report number WI44/2020, Council resolved, one, that Council endorses adjustments of the South Cessnock Flood Mitigation Scheme to include an earthbound wall, racing of part of Quarabalong Street, realignment of section of Hunter Water Stormwater Channel, and voluntary racing of up to five houses. Two, that Council resolves to co-contribute up to $876,000 over 2 years to the recent floodplain management grant application for implementation of the South Cessnock Flood Mitigation Scheme. Three, that Council supports the negotiations of funding agreements with Subsidence Advisory New South Wales and Hunter Water to be progressed based on the adjusted South Cessnock Flood Mitigation Scheme. Four, that the General Manager engages with property owners and residents of South Cessnock to explain the justice scheme and accept feedback. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Right, we move on in the ordinary meeting. I'm not aware of any petitions. Public address. We invite Amanda Wetzel to speak on PE19/2020. Welcome, Amanda.
Hi, how are you going? Just checking, I wasn't on mute.
You're right now.
Great. I didn't get a chance to see what preceded me, so I'll just launch straight in if that's all right.
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Look, I've got a lot of experience in the local strategic planning space. The organisation I work for helped the Department of Planning write the guidelines and the template that all councils are using to prepare these now. They are new, but once they're adopted, they'll be the most important document in your armour for, firstly, providing a common understanding of for the community, the development industry and planning authorities of where and when planning controls are likely to change. Secondly, to prioritise council staff's workload to get us all moving in that direction. And then thirdly, as a basis, a statutory consideration for any time that you want to amend your LEP. Basically, any rezoning that you submit to the department will either need to be directly the result of an LSPS action or be consistent with the priorities and the principles that it describes, just to get a gateway approval, which is the first step in a long process. So in short, these documents are either significantly going to help you or significantly going to hinder the decision-making process around how you change your planning controls. Council adopted the Vineyards Visioning Statement 8 years ago, and since then there's been several attempts to translate that into a supportive and forward-looking planning framework. And as a member of the Property Council of Australia, I'm currently involved with Council's working group supporting the Vineyards District Planning Project, which is mentioned several times in this document. Adopting it unchanged would significantly hinder planning for the vineyards. In some small but very important ways, it actually contradicts Council's adopted vision for the Vineyards District. And it also preempts what the Vineyards District Planning Project is trying to work towards. So I'm therefore asking you to support three key amendments to this document before you adopt it tonight, which I'll try to explain in the order they appear in the document within the limited time that I've got left. The first amendment comes under Planning Priority 6. The change in terminology in Principle 1 from a vineyard area to a vineyards district between the draft and the final will in practice prohibit any future opportunities to provide large lot residential within the entire district, not just where it could impact on an operating vineyard. This actually contradicts Council's adopted vision, which seeks to create a balance between working vineyards, tourist uses, residential, and visitor amenity. And none of those types of uses should be excluded outright in your local strategic planning statement. You should replace planning principles 1 and 3, which also deals with the similar issues, to say the subdivision of land for large lot residential purposes does not reduce the viability of rural lands for agricultural or environmental conservation purposes. That would stick closer to what the vision is trying to achieve. The second amendment under planning priority 11, identify the vineyards district tourism nodes as a special centers category and then show those on the map. That'll achieve two outcomes of the adopted vision. First, to allow and foster a mix of diverse business accommodation and employment options. And secondly, to provide a high quality infrastructure and services to meet community and visitors' needs. The whole purpose of this priority is to ensure adequate infrastructure goes to where people most often go. And there's already 4 of those places in the district. The Vintage and Golden Bear Resorts can accommodate 1,500 dwellings and around 1,300 visitor units. Hunter Valley Gardens welcomes over 300,000 people per year. Oak Cypress Lakes Resort has conferencing facilities for 800 delegates. And the Crown Plaza next to the airport hub has over 400 rooms and conferencing facilities for 1,600 delegates. These areas really need to be recognized and planned for just like any other commercial center.
Do you need an extension?
I've just got one more amendment, yep.
So, Councillor Saval for an extension. Second, Councillor Dagg. I'll put that. All those in favour? Councillors Doherty, Dunn, Fagg, Stapleford, Burke, Sander, Gray, Lyons, Fitzgibbon, Dagg, Saval. Against? Councillor Olsen? Right, one more minute, Amanda.
Thank you. So these areas need to be planned for and recognized just like any other commercial center to make sure that we manage their environmental amenity and infrastructure considerations. The third amendment is to provide a consolidated list of planning principles for the district under planning priority 23 so that people can firstly find them and secondly understand them. At the moment, these are scattered for the district across 5 or more separate planning priorities. And if you bring them all together collectively, they don't actually provide a clear basis for making decisions for reasons I don't have time to explain tonight. But specifically planning principle 3, which states rezoning of land in the vineyards district for residential lifestyle or rural residential development will not be supported. Again, would exclude outright a use that is otherwise supported by council's adopted vision. It's also contrary to research prepared on behalf of council that demonstrates how the other vineyards districts across Australia and internationally have actually benefited from providing residential development, particularly in the form of planned estates. You put all the principles for the vineyards district in one place, in one document, in the document, they'll be easier to find. Thanks for your consideration. I know that's a lot to take in.
Thank you. If you could just wait there, Amanda, for questions from councillors. Okay. Are there any questions, councillors? No, thank you very much for your presentation.
Thank you.
Okay, so we move to consideration and adoption of all reports by Englobo or individually with nominated exceptions. And of course, we take out NI 4 2020, because we did that in the confidential part. I'm going to move in a second. Move Councillor Dagg, second Councillor Sander, the Englobo. I'll put that. All those in favour? It's unanimous.
No, Mayor Pimpton, I just wanted to ask a question on that Englobo. Was the I put an email in this afternoon asking for one to be removed, the Cessnock Correctional Centre access.
Yeah, and it was removed? It
was removed. Okay, I just can't see nothing on the screen, so I don't know.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. So was it unanimous?
Yeah.
Yep. The report, PE19, the adoption of the Cessnock Local Strategic Planning Statement. Councillor Fitzgibbon.
Before I speak to that, I'm here, my screen's frozen, so if anyone thinks I'm doing anything weird, I'm trying to unfreeze it, and I am speaking with a council officer to try and get that sorted. So I can't see any of you. I know that you can probably see me. So it's a little bit difficult. Look, I'm going to move that council defer the LSPS pending a councillor workshop to discuss planning priorities 1, 2, 5, 6, 8, 11, 12, 17, 21, 22, 27, 28, and any further issues arising from the discussion.
Okay, we got a seconder for the deferral. Councillor Dunn, we're going to put that. All those in favour? It's unanimous. So move to mayoral minute 5, the council, the minutes of the council initiated awards committee. It nominates two former citizens of Cessnock to be included into the Hall of Fame. I'll move the mayoral minute to include the two members into the Hall of Fame and to put the third candidate in the Australia Day Awards. I'll put that. There's no debate. All those in favour? That's unanimous. So, Council, you have just supported both Simon Whitlock, world-famous darts player, and Daniel Repicoli, an outstanding Olympian and Commonwealth Games participant, to the Cessnock Hall of Fame. Well done. Motions of urgency. None. Deferred business, BN25. Councillor Olsen.
Yeah, thanks, Mayor Pinsent. This was deferred from a couple of months ago when we were looking at how much parking was available in Cessnock, and we've now had that report come back. I still want to move this motion as it's written, that the General Manager prepare a report for the Local Traffic Committee.
Councillor Olsen, we've got a big one that I'm not aware of.
Councillor Fitzgibbon needs to leave the meeting.
Thank you. Right, so back to you, Councillor Olsen.
Yeah, thanks, Mayor Pinson. The motion that was written down that the General Manager prepare a report for the Local Traffic Committee seeking a 3-hour limit on the Charles Street car park next to the Reject Shop. The reason I still want to support that motion, what we found out about our parking was that we have a number of parking places, but they're nowhere near the shops that people want to shop at. They want to shop in the Coles complex. They want to shop in the Woolworths complex, and they want to get into the main street around the banks, et cetera. And while ever we have workers allowed to park there all day, it's taking away business from our community. And all I want to see is that our shoppers and our shop owners get equal opportunity to have their to be in business and to allow a close proximity parking for them when they come to it. We all know that if people can't park near the front door of a business, they'll go somewhere else where they can park. And no one wants to park.
Hang on, then, Councillor. We're looking for a seconder. Councillor Dunn, continue.
Thanks, Mayor Pinson. We all know that no one wants to park down behind the Cessnock Hotel and walk up to Woolworths or Coles, or vice versa. No one wants to park Coles to go to Tinkler's for a beer. So we need to have the parking where the places are, and this is the most logical place. I've struggled to find parking places in there. I've seen people park there all day. Obviously, they work there somewhere in the vicinity, and that is taking away business from our local shops, and we all know how much they're struggling. I think a three-hour limit is ideal for that area. 3 hours gives you plenty of time to do your shopping, and we still have the Coles and Woolworths car parks as well. And that'll benefit all businesses in that area. So hopefully the council can support this motion.
Is there any further debate? Councillor A. Stapleford.
Thank you, Mayor Pinsent. I instigated the traffic study on this, and I understand where Councillor Olsen's coming from. I was there today, and it was bedlam to try and get a park down there. But the one thing that we don't want to do is penalise the lowest paid workers in our society, because the shop assistants are not overly paid. And if we put a time parking on it, like some of the places in Newcastle, these people have got to be able to leave their employment before 3 hours, move their cars and then go back to work and find a park. And I just think that's unfair to the lowest paid of our workers. And we should be assisting the lowest paid workers as well as the shopkeepers. And that was the reason I pushed for the to have a look at it in the first place. But I have to not support Councillor Olsen in this time.
Okay. Councillor Gray.
Thank you, Mayor Pinson. And I can't support this motion at this point in time either, although I do acknowledge the intent and some people are making some noise and the squeaky wheel. But I don't really think it's a major issue at this point in time. Also, there is lots of parking on the other side of Vincent Street. There's lots of parking there, and also the Coles car park is very rarely full for overflowing. So I don't shop there that often, but I have parked there quite often, and I haven't found the issue at its present. Also, what we've got going forward is we've just had the high level audit of parking, and we've got another briefing coming through, I think, in about September, doing a full parking audit. So, you know, if you're required to do it at that car park, then should we be doing it over the other side at Cumberland Street? Should we be doing it all around? And so I'd be waiting for that review before I could support a 3-hour motion. So, thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Dunn.
Thank you, Mayor Pinson. As Councillor Gray just said, the car parks behind Cumberland Street and the Coles car park at the back end of Hall Street, they aren't always full, yet the car park right at the centre of the CBD is, and it's always difficult to get a park. I would think it'd be common sense that we swapped it around, that people are going to spend, you know, more than 3 hours in the car parks, be walking a few extra 100 metres rather than the people that actually want to go in, do the shopping and leave in a couple of hours. So I fully support this motion. It's common sense. You know, if people in the businesses that are working there for more than 3 hours, they basically, you know, they should be walking a few 100 metres more if they're going to be there all day. It is common sense, and I'm fully happy to support this motion.
Councillor Olsen, the right of reply.
Yeah, thanks, Mayor Pinson. I have to say that I'm surprised at some of the comments by councillors there. This is for a car park for people to be able to shop in the community. And if businesses want to have their staff parking at the door, they're pushing customers away. So we can't help them anymore. This is about helping our businesses, making sure that we've got enough parking in walking distance of the shops, not about having someone to go and move their car every 3 hours. This is about the shoppers. You want the shoppers to say, I know I can get a parking spot down there, so I'm going to go down there. Or instead of getting in their car and saying, I can't get a parking spot, I'm going to go to Green Hills. I know I can get a parking spot undercover, and I just walk up, get a lift upstairs, and I'm at the shops. That's what we don't have in Cessnock. And now here we are, we've got an opportunity to say this to the local people, here we are, we're going to try and make parking turnover better for you. Every 3 hours, we know these people have got to be gone. Instead of having the people that work in the business parking there, the Commonwealth Bank and stuff like that, if they don't supply parking, well, they're going to have to work something out for them. But if you want customers, you've got to have parking close to the shops. And I think there's enough people out there saying, we want parking near our shops. I know the local chemist in Coles has been on my case many times about how much money he lost when that roundabout was being done. and no one was coming down. And he said, once it's done, we need to be able to turn over these parking spots a lot quicker so we can get customers coming back in. Otherwise, they're not coming in. If they just want a script, they're not going to go there. They're going to go to another chemist. So they can't park. So I think it's logical. It's not going to cost anyone anything. There's nothing about paying to park there. You'll only get in trouble if you park there longer than 3 hours. And I think as far as I'm concerned, it's the most logical thing we can do as a council. Thank you.
I think I've missed Councillor Dagg in the debate, even though I called Councillor Olsen to close debate.
That's fine.
Councillor Dagg?
Thank you, Mayor Pinson. I'll just quickly make one comment. I do appreciate where Councillor Olsen is coming from, and I think it's important, you know, that we're always doing everything we can to encourage people to shop in Cessnock. You know, I'm in Cessnock regularly, and, you know, the only time I struggle to get a park is if I'm wanting to park directly at the door of the shop I'm wanting to go to. You know, I think there's a real hesitancy in town CBDs from people having to walk around to where they shop. Yet, you know, you look at Green Hills, for example, as Councillor Olsen said, sure, it's all underground, it's in the one vicinity, but you've still got to trek, you know, sometimes a fair bit to get up to the shops. And sometimes, you know, when you look at it, it's actually further than you would in some of our more peripheral car parks in the CBD. But people, you know, from what I understand, seem to have this mindset that when they come to the Cessnock CBD, you know, if they can't get a park directly outside the shop in which they intend to go into, then parking is terrible. Now, I'm not saying that we shouldn't be doing everything we can to encourage that turnover, but given Councillor Gray said that we seem to be lining up a briefing in September following further investigations, I'd like to, if possible, move that we defer this this report until after that.
I'm going to rule that out of line because, you know, I called the end of debate for Councillor Olsen. It was only that I missed you that I included you. So at this point, I can't accept that deferral.
Sure.
I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Councillors Olsen, Doherty, Dunn. Those against? Councillors Fagg, Stapleford, Burke, Seander, Dagg, Lyons, Gray, Saville and Pinson. So we get Councillor Fitzgibbon back in the room. Here we move to GMU 9-2020. Cessnock Correctional Centre Access. So we're moving the report. Move Councillor Gray, second Councillor Zabal. Debate Councillor Olsen.
Yeah, thanks, Mayor Pinson. Interesting that the meeting was a couple of weeks ago and it was just a questions time for you to explain why Council done everything we did. And then we get an email today from the minister saying that he still remained committed to the reasons outlined in his correspondence on the 30th of March, that on his decision. Now, that's not a good thing, because if he's still committed to that, yet he's still asking Corrective Services to seek their advice, I find that's a bit concerning because Corrective Services, they don't care as long as they get into the centre. So I don't know what we're going to get back out of that. But the good thing out of that letter comes is that Clayton Barr, our member for Cessnock, is going back down to, he's made an appointment to meet with the minister again. And following our briefing last week where he clarified for us that the minister had told you that they would make sure there'd be no rat run through Nalkabar. So that he's going back to talk to him and raise some concerns that other councillors and myself raised last week at the briefing and say that we weren't fully briefed on what was told to you, and that's why some of our decisions sounded unfair to the Liberal state government. So it's disappointing that we've got to this far where we should have had a resolution by now by our state government if we'd had all the information given to us, but we weren't afforded all that information. So now the residents of Nullarbor are copping flak because they haven't got the cars going down their street, and Lindsay Street stuck with it. What the Nullarbor residents wanted and what I wanted was Lindsay Street closed and traffic out of the jail onto the Wine Country Drive without putting a rat run through Nullarbor. And we would have had that if we had all that information before us. But we didn't have that information, and that's why we made some of the decisions we made. So it's very disappointing where we're at now, and we can still lose any access. We could still be stuck with Lindsay Street. It all comes back to this minister. The only other thing, I had a question. I was told we were going to get a speaker from Nullarbor to speak. Did they ask to speak tonight? Anyone asked to speak tonight?
General Manager.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. This matter is for noting only, not for decision-making.
Yeah, but can't they speak on it?
Under the code of meeting practice, it is only for items that are for consideration.
Okay, so we can't have them speak to us because it's only for... Not, all right, okay, that's our code. Okay, fair enough. But it's disappointing. We might still get the road. I think if we do get the road, I think it all goes back to Clayton Barr for doing the hard work he's done with this minister. And it's very disappointing that this council has cost us this road at this point in time.
Councillor Fitzgibbon.
Look, council has worked very, very hard to get to where we are. It hasn't been easy because we've had to take into account the feelings of those people who are every day impacted by the jail entrance, which is outdated in Lindsay Street.
Point of order, Mayor Pinson, we just had this discussion. We had Councillor Fitzgibbon put a pecuniary interest in because of Curlew Street earlier on a development application. Now
it is not a point of order. Councillor Fitzgibbon?
Mayor Pinson, it's still the same street. If she's got a pecuniary interest because of a development, she should
have... Councillor Olson, you are out of order. Councillor Fitzgibbon?
Thank you, Mayor Pinson, for nothing.
Thank you, Mayor Pinsent. So the Lindsay Street entrance, as we all know, is outdated. We also have to take into consideration the impact that it will have on those people in Nullarbor, and it's important that that area is isolated from any impacts that may occur with a new entrance. And the most important thing was the Nullarbor residents kept looking at other alternatives, rightly so, and it was important that we had it in writing that option 3A was the only option and that it was going to be funded by the state government and not by our local ratepayers. And I know Councillor Olson continues to refer to conversations. Conversations have proven to mean absolutely nothing. It was only when we asked for this to be in writing that the minister said, well, go away. Thank you.
Point of order, Mayor Pinson. That's not correct.
Point of orders. Only procedural matters.
It's a procedural matter, which is misleading council.
Councillor Olson, you are out of order by speaking when I'm speaking.
Okay, tell me why it's not a procedural motion then, please.
Sorry?
Why is she allowed to speak saying things that are misleading this council and the general public? Because all we...
Point, that, Thank you. Points of order are only for procedural errors in the running of the meeting, not over what someone else says. I'm going to move on.
We can lie to council, Mayor Pinson. You're saying we can lie at council.
You are out of order again. That is not a point of order. If you have issues over someone's comments, the code of conduct has certain procedures that you need to undertake. And the same applies for questioning people's declarations of interest. That's not something that's debated in the chamber. It's run through the procedures from a code of conduct. I'm going to put report GMU9, all those in favour? Councillors, it's unanimous. Thank you. PE 16, 2020. So I'm moving. Move Councillor Burke, second Councillor Dunn. Councillor Dunn.
Thank you, Mayor Pinson. I'd like to move a small amendment to point 8 of the recommendation, and that reads that the $476,923.75 in repealed funds from the Tourism Section 94 plan repealed and the $23,076.25 from funds collected under Council's existing Section 712 contribution plan not be allocated and a report come back to Council for alternate options to consider, including information on the breakup of where the money was collected and the nexus between the projects and the original intent of the repealed tourism plan.
And we have a seconder. Councillor Stapleford.
Thank you, Mayor Pinson. Can I speak on that?
Yes.
Yeah, basically, why I've asked for this amendment, Mayor Pinson, is basically when you see the breakdown of the funds that come from the original Section 94 plan for tourism, there's $1.4 million there, Mayor Pinson, and it's asking for these funds to be spent on the Currie CBD Master Plan. And I don't have a problem with us funding the Currie CBD Master Plan. But what I do have a problem with is out of that $1.4 million that was collected in the tourism fund, approximately $1.1 million of that came out of Pocolban and Mount View directly. And we need there to be some transparency in the way we collect funds and where we spend those funds, Mayor Pinson. And, you know, when we talk about the funds coming from into the Section 94 Tourism Fund for, you know, basically tourism-related purposes, you've got a tourism region in our LGA that's just lost the vintage due to smoke taint, and now they've basically been crippled by COVID-19. So if we then turn around and say to them, you know, all of the DAs that you've put in, almost 90% of the funds of those that have been paid by you, you know, basically, you know, aren't going to, you know, going to be spent in total in your area. I do have a problem with that, Mayor Pinson, and this is not to say that we're not going to find funds for the Currie CBD. This is simply to say that if we've got $500,000 worth of funds, we need to find a nexus that was, you know, more in line with the original intent of those funds. And, you know, as I said, if almost 90% of those funds were collected in the Vineyard District, and this is a tourism fund that was Section 94 that was repealed, fundamentally, surely there has to be a nexus with things like traffic generation developments, airport upgrades, unfinished cycleways, things like that, that we could spend the money in areas that it was collected, as opposed to going to a CBD master plan out of an area that only actually generated $200 out of that $1.4 million. So what I'm asking here, Mayor Pinson, is we basically come back in a month's time with other options for how we spend this money, as opposed to taking it out of where the original intent was for this to be spent.
And put the amendment. Councillor Gray.
Thank you, Mayor Pinson. I'd like to speak against the amendment. Look, tourism is right across the LGA, and although
you mean to stop, please. Right, can you speak now?
Sorry?
Right, can you start again, thank you.
Yep. That tourism is right across the LDA, and yes, the Vineyard is a major contributor, and yes, that historically they've contributed to these funds. But this is about lifting the whole LDA as one. In the future, tourism doesn't just start at the Vineyard District. And one of my key points is always that, you know, it's, once again, it sounds like the Great Neath Divide again, that heavy industry to the south, and we keep tourism up into wine country, and that where tourism within Currie is a major developing industry, and coal history with the Richmond Bay, with the Richmond Main Mining Museum, with the Richmond Vale Rail Trail, and the development of the murals within Currie are critical to the lifting. So it's not either or. There'll be future where money will flow in the other direction. There's Brankston Greeter, you know, would have no hope of, you know, if we're starting to be, you know, parochial about where money is being spent, and we're going, then it's a really bad precedent that we could be setting, because, you know, nothing would move outside of the Vineyard District, and so tourism is my main point is tourism is the whole LGA. We're lifting the people come to Currie for murals and other things, and doing up the CBD is just as worthy, and just to the whole of the tourism industry within the Cessnock LGA, as much as just wine country in itself. So I think it is a good allocation of the funds from now, and, you know, in the future, then others can be funded in the other direction. Thank you.
Councillor Stapleford.
Well, thank you, Mayor Pinson. I'm going to speak for the amendment. The money was raised in the Vineyard District. The Vineyard District now are facing the biggest challenges, as Cessnock is. Unemployment, the losing their crop for smoke taint, and we have this money to spend. And I've nothing against spending money at Currie, but we should spend this money on tourism-related issues in the Valley. It's our biggest employer in the Vineyard District, and we should promote them to try and get our people back to work, and this will give us $500,000 that we can do things in the Vineyards that relate to that money, to that contribution, to assist our local economy and to get our people back to work. Thank you.
Tina.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just a question to the Director of Planning, if I may. If the amendment went through and the money was redirected, would Currie CBD get any funding at all, or would it go ahead?
The Director.
Oh, thank you, Mayor Pinson. Councillor Sander, the way that the funds have been prepared is collaboratively through the Development Contribution Steering Group. So that has also helped inform your operational plan for next year in terms of how that project is funded. So if those funds don't go there, council would have to find funds from somewhere else to assist in that Currie project.
Councillor Dunn, you don't get a right of reply on an amendment. So if there's no further debate, I'm going to put the amendment.
Mayor Pinson, can I speak, please?
Sorry?
Can I speak, Mayor Pinson, please? Councillor Olson.
Right. I haven't seen you. Okay, Councillor Olson.
Thanks, Mayor Pinson. I think the amendment's a sensible thing. I think the money was raised up in the Vineyards, and the Vineyards have done it very tough over the last 6 months. We had the fires, and now we've got the COVID, and they've struggled. The people out there, everyone tells us they're the biggest employer in our district, and I think we should be supporting them as much as we can. They raised the funds for us. All the development out there has put this money together for us. and now we want to move it down to Curry. Now, I'm sure if you're a councillor in Curry, you would be supporting the money to go to Curry. But I'm a councillor in Ward B, and the vineyards are majority in Ward A. But I think it still should be spent to get these vineyards and these people back to work. We know that from the 1st of June, the state government has said that they'll start allowing people to travel. So it's a long weekend coming up then. We need these people back at work and start getting money back in the pockets to help the whole community. I think we'll get an instant return from it. I can't see an instant return from doing the main street of Curry up. It's all about getting our community moving again after all these hard times, and I support the amendment.
We can put the amendment. All those in favour? Councillors Olsen, Bagg, Stapleford, Doherty and Dunn. Those against? Councillors Burke, Sander, Gray, Lyons, Saville, Dagg and Pinson. It's lost, so the original motion goes back as the motion. We're going to put that. All those in favour? The original, it's Councillors Doherty, Burke, Sander, Saville, Lyons, Gray, Dagg. Against? Councillors Olsen, Fagg, Stapleford and Dunn. PV 17, adoption of the...
Excuse me, Pinson. I'd like to move a further amendment to PE 16, if you don't mind.
I've already dealt with it. It's been put. You didn't flag the shadow.
Another amendment to the...
The resolution's been put. It's dealt with. We're going on to the next report, PE 17. 17. I'm moving the report. Move Councillor Saville. Second. Councillor Sander. Waiting on Councillor Fitzgibbon rejoining us. Okay, so we've got a mover and a second. Debate. Time change.
Yeah, Pinson.
Councillor Olsen.
Thanks, Mayor Pinson. I just see this report being a total waste of money. We all know we've got to look after the environment, but we also know that the state and federal government override council and anything we do, and we should be just abiding by what they come up with is best for our environment and following their guidelines. This has just cost council money, and it's just a feel-good report. I just don't see the point of having it. Like one of the submissions said, it's not the role of local government to set these guidelines. It's the role of state or federal, and I certainly support that resident.
Thank you.
Look, the New South Wales government has asked council to produce a climate change policy, and that's why we have done so. And the principles of this policy really only relate to the council buildings, operations and assets. By improving things like energy efficiency in relation to council buildings, operations and assets. The other important point about this policy is the adoption of the policy and subsequent climate change strategy, which is required by the state government again, will allow council to apply for New South Wales government climate change resilient grants to upgrade public infrastructure. So it is a positive for the community, because if we can, as we've already done, change the globes in the street lighting to LED, if we can save the ratepayer money anyway or anyhow, I think that's a good result for the community.
Okay, no further debate. I'm going to put the motion. All those in favour? Councillors Fagg, Stapleford, Burke, Sander, Gray, Lyons, Saville, Dagg, Fitzgibbon and Pinson. Those against? Councillors Olsen, Dunn, Doherty? Yeah, and Doherty. Thank you. So we move to PE 18. Councillor Fitzgibbon, if you could go to the waiting room, please. PE 18, so So moving the report, move Councillor Gray, second Councillor Saville, Councillor Olson.
Yeah, a couple of questions, Mayor Pinsent. Were all the residents in Ockerbar notified of the lot size changes or what this development's going to do?
The Director.
Through you, Mayor Pinsent. This is at an early stage of the development where we have to determine whether or not to send it to Gateway. The Gateway process, if then issued by the state government, then instructs council what consultation we have to undertake. That is when we go to the local community with the proposal, not before.
Yeah. It just seems a silly way of doing things when you might put it, get the Gateway approval and then we come back to the residents and we have a massive outright saying we don't want it. So I'm a bit concerned about that. Also, with what's going on with Curlew Street and the Correctional Centre, is that going to be taken into consideration with this development?
Through you, Mayor Pinsent, there is no proposal before council for, like, there's no application from the Correctional Centre in relation to any works there, for example. So you can only take into account the application before you, which is a planning proposal in relation to a particular property. The process is for this particular proposal to be assessed and whatever the state government decides we need to look at through the Gateway process is what we have to look at. And it's about the impact and suitability of this particular proposal in that area. So if, without any other proposal being part of this, the answer would be no.
Thank you. He hasn't finished. Councillor Olson, we just need to unmute you.
Sorry, Mayor Pinson. We do know that the corrective services could use Curlew Street. We know it's been a long debate and we know councillors want Curlew Street used by the corrective services. So it changes the direction of the road at Curlew Street and Oxenden Street. Some people from Knockbarney found out today about this development coming to council and contacted me and they said, why are they reducing the lot size? They don't support the lot size change and it's going to be, by basically sending it to a Gateway, we're saying we do support it. So I think we're putting the horse before the cart. I think I know what the government says, but if we send it off, then the government's saying yous must support it. So now yous go and go through do all the hard work now. But yet the residents are sitting out there saying, well, we don't support it. Why would council and why would my councillor support that? So I'd have to go and vote against this tonight because I can't support something that the residents have already told me and they didn't even know until today that they don't want reduction in lot sizes along that area.
We're going to put that. No further debate. All those in favour? Councillors Doherty, Dunn, Sapleford, Burke, Sander, Saville, Lyons, Gray, Dagg, Pinsent, those against. Councillor Olson and Fagg. Perhaps we get invite Councillor Fitzgibbon back into the room. Right, we're up to CC 39, 2020, the quarterly budget review statements. Move Councillor Gray, second Councillor Burke.
I just have some questions. Get me a pencil.
Yeah, just hang on, you haven't had the call yet.
That's fine, mate.
Waiting on some staff to come into the room. So we're moving to second Councillor Olson.
Yeah, Mayor Pinson, just some questions. Like, we've got the third point in the recommendation says that we're going to have a deficit this year of $3,535,000. We had a planned deficit, no deficit. Was that our plan or was it going to be a balanced budget?
The Director or the Manager?
If I could defer to the manager, please, Mr. Mayor.
Yeah, fine. So the Finance and Administration Manager.
Through the Chair, the deficit has actually been communicated before. It relates to us to there being a prepayment of the financial assistance grant in the prior year, and that's the primary reason for the deficit.
We were aiming for a balanced budget, though, weren't we?
If I could, Mr. Mayor.
Yeah, Director.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Mayor. If you look at page 157 of your document, Councillor Olsen, it will show you the original budget that we're looking at, which was a small surplus.
Yeah.
And due to a number of issues that are really outside of Council's control, as documented in the report, we are looking at a large deficit at the end of the year. The majority of that, as the manager has alluded to, is in relation to the early payment of the financial assistance grant in June of 2018. If that hadn't have occurred, the deficit you were looking at now would be primarily related to the anticipated effects of the current COVID pandemic.
Yeah, so last year's financial budget would have been showing a profit.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Without those figures in front of me, Councillor Olsen, that certainly the income would have been recognised in last year's financial statements, which would have improved that result for that year.
Thank you.
Sorry, just a couple more questions, if I may. We've had a few changes in revenues and expenditure, but we're also showing decreases of $5 million relating to council resolutions reallocating funds. Is that the reallocation of funds to next financial year?
Director.
Thank you, Mayor Pinsent. Certainly is, Councillor Olsen, and that was outlined in a couple of the briefings we had around the operational plan, and they're highlighted in the later report as well.
Councillor Olsen, we just missed that question.
Sorry. Next year? How are we going to manage to do that on top of all the other work we've planned for next year?
You might have to repeat that question, please.
If the $5 million, $5.5 million we've transferred to next year's budget is an increasing next year's capital works we got by over $5 million. If we couldn't do all the work we did this year because we only had around $20 million, next year we're planning on $30 million, how do we plan on getting that, spending all that money in the next 12 months?
The Director.
If I may, I might defer to the Director of Works and Infrastructure, but certainly he'd have a better answer for that than I.
Mr. Director.
Through you, Mayor. Yeah, that's something for us to work out. We certainly see it as a challenge and we'll take that challenge on. Some of these projects are already listed. They're just adding further money to it to co-contribute to other grant funds that we've received for some of the projects. So it just adds value to those projects.
Thank you. Right, there's no further debate. We're going to put the report. All those in favour? It's unanimous. CC 40, March 2020 quarterly review. The delivery program. Councillor, move Councillor Dagg, second Councillor Sander, Councillor Olsen.
Don't worry about it, sorry.
Okay, thank you. No debate. Going to put it, those in favour? It's unanimous. CC 41. Councillor
Saval. Thank you, Mayor Pinsen. Can I move the recommendation with an additional dot point? So the current recommendation would be become the first point.
Yeah. Can we just stop for a moment, Councillor? We can't have a second because we don't know what it is yet. Can we have the amended motion, please, Robin?
Yes,
Okay. You can see it there. Over to you, Councillor Saville. So
So moving the additional part of the recommendation that the General Manager undertake consultation with the Employee Consultative Group on all the above policies relating to employment conditions before they are formally revoked. If there are no unresolved issues, then Council approves the policy revocation. Otherwise, for any unresolved issues, a further report be returned to Council for consideration.
Yeah, thank you. And we've got a seconder. Seconder everywhere. Councillor Sander, thank you. Speaking to it, Councillor Saville, no?
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. Just briefly, I just think it's a matter of good policy just to run these by the employee consultative groups when we're changing policies and revoking things that might impact their employment conditions. I understand that most of them probably will have already gone through a process with them in regards to developing the new policies that have superseded these ones we're revoking. So I think that this should be hopefully an easy process and just a double checking thing that we should do.
Okay, I'm going to put that. All those in favour? It's unanimous. CC42, adoption of draft 2021 operational plan for public exhibition. Move Councillor Burke, second Councillor Gray, Councillor Olsen.
Yeah, Mayor Pinson, a couple of questions, if I may. The first one relates to page 275. Where we have the rates and annual charges for a typical residential ratepayer. Can we get clarification those sums are correct?
The director.
Because I've counted them and they aren't right. They're not right.
The director.
Thank you, Mayor Pinson. As far as I'm aware, the sums are correct, Councillor Olsen, unless you're demanding that they don't add up in the table.
Yeah, well, they don't add up.
Okay, the contents in each line are certainly correct as far as I'm aware, and that it's calculated the same way that we've calculated them in the past, and they're based upon the current advertised rates in the dollar and the like for residential ratepayers.
Well, can I ask, if I may, the general rate for 1920 is $1,141. For 2021 is $1,203. That's a difference of $61, but you have an increase there of $31.
Wow.
Big difference, isn't it?
Yep, I'll have to take that on board, Councillor Olsen. That's certainly correct. That table is incorrect.
And so then the increase percentage would be different.
Just recalculate that as we're standing there, I'll let you know.
Right. Because you'll find that when you go down to the bottom, your difference in the total is $128, not $42.
Right, so you pointed that out?
No, I haven't. It hasn't been cleared up yet, Mayor Pinson, because that will change your percentages and everything there. So then I've just got a couple other questions, and if I may, but I need the Finance Minister there to clarify for me.
Thank you for the
hang on,
the promotion.
Let's have a little bit of respect.
Yep.
The term is director. We don't have ministers in this organisation.
Oh, sorry, Mayor Pinson, the director. I apologise.
Thank you, Councillor Olsen. You are correct. The table is wrong in relation to the increases. So you are looking at an increase just over $61 in the general rates and $11 in the domestic waste. So that is, as you point out, a $72 increase.
Yeah.
On a quick calculation, again, I didn't do that one, but I shall do it now.
72 divided by 1699 is 100.
You're looking at a 4.2% increase in rates.
4.2. That's not actually. Correct. If you want to now have a look at the totals on the bottom. You've got 1699.13, sorry, and then you've got 182727. That's $128 difference.
The director.
I don't know what to say, Councillor Olsen, other than the fact that the table is incorrect. It would have been nice to know this before the meeting. I could have done all the recalculations.
Director, I only checked this last night and I've been at work all day today.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to make a fool of you or anything. What I'm trying to do is trying to work out the percentages that the rates are going to increase by for each ratepayer. I'm trying to work out if these figures are wrong. I'm hoping no other figures are wrong in our budget.
If I may, the increase is, as you point out, $72. Yeah. That is the increase. That is the correct amount. I would have to recalculate the other ones, and I can't tell you what they are at the moment.
Could a solution to this be that a memo be sent out tomorrow confirming the figures?
Yes, thanks. That would be great.
Continue an interrogation.
Mayor Pinson, I'm not trying to interrogate the director. I'm just trying to clarify it because I was sitting here at 9:30 last night going through this, and that's when I found it. My other question is, I have two more questions, and it's in the operational plan that's going on exhibition. Page 65, the Hart Road, Ginger Road, Oxford, replace the roundabout. It says $2,604,000. Who's paying for that? Is that funded by a state government? Have they fully funded it, or are we part paying
for it? You asked a question. I'll get someone to answer it for you. One of the directors, please.
If I could defer to the Director of Works and Services.
Yeah, sure. The Director.
Yeah, through you, Mayor. The contribution made by Transport for New South Wales is $1.8 million, and I advised Council in the briefing that I presented in relation to Gingers Lane. I think the wording there, while it says Hart Road, Gingers Lane, Government Road, Loxford, there's probably some approach works that Council will be funding to make up that value that's in that column, budget column. But certainly I can confirm that Transport for New South Wales have provided $1.8 million in funding.
Thank you.
That's good to know because we've also contributed $1.8 million ourselves. When I thought the whole road from Frame Drive and Gingers Lane and the roundabout was supposed to have been fully funded by the state government. But unfortunately, it's cost the council some money. My other question is, and it's on page 67, pathway construction. This goes back a long time there. Mount View Road, footpath. We transferred the money from doing the footpath there out to Nalkabar because we were waiting on the construction of the housing retirement village doing their jacaranda doing their building there. Now they've finished their building, they put up a fence. I want to know when council is going to fund Mount View Road footpath from the bridge to Wallumbye Road, when it's such a heavily used footpath and it's in a dangerous condition and it's got dips and hollows everywhere. It was deferred many years ago. You would remember it was done in the last term of council.
So we take that on notice?
Yeah, take that on notice. I'd like to know when it's going to get back into the budget, please.
No further questions? I'm going to put that. All those in favour? It's unanimous. 16.47.2020 resolutions tracking report.
Mayor Pinson, can I be recorded as voting against that motion, please?
Okay.
Yeah, thank you.
So if we take the 12 councillors in, Councillor Olsen voting against it. CC 47, resolution tracking report. Move Councillor Fitzgibbon. Second, Councillor Saval. Councillor Olsen.
Sorry, Mayor Pinson, I shouldn't have had my hand up there.
Fine, okay, so there's no debate. I'll put the motion. Those in favour? It's unanimous. Thank you. WI 36, 2020, Baddeley Park, Carmichael Park and Western Bears Park Master Plans. Councillor Stapleford.
Thank you, Mayor Pinsent. I sent Robin an amended recommendation today. I was wondering if you could think of
it. We're just going to look at that. Okay, there it is.
Thank you, Mayor Pinsent. When I went through this, I thought the master plan for Bears Park was extremely good, but I have some reservations of Carmichael Park and Baddeley Park. And I would like to defer the second two, Carmichael Park and Baddeley Park, for a site visit and an explanation of how they come about their planning. I know this is only to send it out on exhibition, but the problem I have with that is if 100 people read it and 4 people make a comment,
you go back to
we adjust it.
Excuse me, Councillor Stapleford. I just need to go back to the full screen to ask for a seconder.
Sorry. That.
Councillor Dunn, thank you. Continue.
Mayor Vincent, that if 100 people put submissions in, if only 4 people, sorry, put submissions in, and 100 people read it, we then go back and adjust for the submissions that were put in. But those other people may have put submissions in if we'd have changed it first. And that's why I'd like to go and have a look at it and have an explanation of the planners, how they come about their decisions.
Okay, thank you. Go back to the other screen. Okay, so no further debate.
I'm going to put that. Mayor Pinsent, if I could just briefly yes, speak, Mayor Pinsent.
Sorry, but I didn't see you here, Councillor.
Councillor Lyons. Okay, thank you, Mayor Pinsent. Yeah, just briefly, I'd like to support Councillor Stapleford's motion. Firstly, these are in general excellent plans, very detailed, and I'd like to commend the staff for their hard work, but yes, certainly Carmichael Park, there are some localised issues that I think we should look at, and I think this would be an excellent opportunity for councillors to sit down with the staff and actually nut these out before it goes on public exhibition so that we don't raise the ire of locals. But in general, yes, excellent work, and looking at some of the facilities that we provided, particularly the new innovation of the multi-purpose facilities, which is a great use of land to get extra people involved in sport and recreation. I commend the program.
Right, there's no further debate. I'm going to put that.
Yeah, Mayor Pinsent, can Councillor Olsen?
I'm not seeing him.
Is it not there? Sorry, it was a. All right. Thanks, Mayor Pinsent. I do think that what we have here is 3 good plans. I'm just hoping that it's the plans that the people want. I know Weston has been talked about for a hell of a long time. I know I've got 3 grandsons playing down there now, but this was talked about before they even thought about playing soccer. It's been a long time coming. I know each plan is going to cost around $10 million to do. I don't know where we're going to get all that money from. I know that Vardy Park will probably be sold off, and if we can do that, I hope that all that money goes into the Bear Park. I know that the Bears have been one of the longest teams in the top competition in Newcastle for, you know, they've been there for 50-odd years or something. I don't know what it is now. But they've done really well for a local coal mining team, and they've brought some great people out to this country from Scotland and England to play for the local teams. And they develop their kids, and they do a great job. So I think they deserve the support of the community, and that's why I've supported this from day one when they first started mentioning it. For the other two, I'd certainly like to see Baddeley Park upgraded, and I'd certainly like to see Carmichael Park upgraded. I've used them parks many times over the years, and although they are reasonably good, I'd like to see them pristine. And I know we've got a lot of development going on at Bellbird, so we should be able to find some funding there for Bellbird, and it's just a matter of getting Baddeley Park up to where we want it. And I think this is great for the community if we can find the funding and get it going and get us some great facilities for the local sport players, whether it be cricket, soccer, hockey, whatever sport you play, rugby league. We should be encouraging kids to get out there and play, and adults to continue playing as long as they can, because it's great for the community, great for your health, and great for families. Thank you.
Councillor Fitzgibbon.
Councillor Stapleford's amendment. I think it's very important that we provide the facilities and the entrances to the facilities and car parking surrounding the facilities that meet the community needs. The most important thing that I think the community do need to know is council are continually working on master plans to make sure that we are up to date with what the community needs. And by developing these master plans, it enables us to attract grant funding, which is very important for big projects like this, because council rates will never deliver the facilities or infrastructure that we need without the grants. Thank you.
No further debate. I'm going to put the motion. All those in favour? That's unanimous. WI 37 2020 adoption of trail strategy.
And that was an amendment. That was an amendment, Mayor Pinson.
It was an amended motion. The recommendation has never moved and seconded. Councillor Gray.
Okay.
Thank you, Mayor Pinson. I'd move that and with a slight amendment.
And move, and we have a seconder for the trail strategy. Councillor Sander, thank you.
Is that?
Looking at the amended motion.
Yeah, if we could, that all references to Wanneroo Nation are changed to the Wanneroo people. The Wanneroo Nation is a private company, and Wanneroo Nation Aboriginal Corporation, and this may be construed by the greater Koori community of the Hunter region as being exclusive, not inclusive, of all Aboriginal groups within our boundaries. So if we could have that changed.
Yep, fine. Okay, so no further debate. I'll put that. All those in favour? It's unanimous. WI 38, Recovery Stimulus Projects. Councillor Gray.
Thank you, Mayor Pinson. And once again, can I add two dot points to this?
Sure, if we can see them. Okay.
That point two, that the federal member of Hunter and Patterson be informed of the stimulus projects, and that the state member for Cessnock be informed of the stimulus projects as well.
Okay, we've got a seconder there. Get the screen. To Councillor Sander, thank you. No debate.
Yes, Mayor Pinson.
Yes, Councillor Olson.
Yeah, Mayor Pinson, point 1.9 in the recommendation, the Cessnock CBD bypass stage one by Duffy's Drive. Now, we tried using that as a bypass of Cessnock once before, and it was knocked back because it is a local road, not a state road, and the residents objected to it. They didn't want it back then. They didn't want us using that to go around past East Cessnock, past one school. By doing this, we're putting the residents past two schools, and I think that should be removed from any future design of a bypass of Cessnock, because you're putting traffic onto a road that's got a speed hump on 24 hours a day that I don't see as being any benefit to the community to get around Cessnock, because once you come around there, you've then got to come down and get across Vincent Street, and then once you get across Vincent Street, you then got to get up West Avenue, and then you've got to get back on the Wallumbyre Road. It doesn't make sense to me. It only puts more traffic past the schools, and I think it should be removed from any of our plans at any future moving forward with a bypass of Cessnock. So it's 1.9, the Cessnock CBD bypass stage one via Duffy Drive, Cessnock. You cannot start that without talking to the residents of Cessnock. You've got to get out there and speak to them and tell you you're going to bypass East Cessnock by going down through Aberdare. And we haven't done that. None of the residents of Aberdare know about it. So we need to remove that from the recommendation. It was stopped years ago.
So if you're moving an amendment to remove, have that removed?
I'll put an amendment up that be removed from this motion.
Yeah, so that the 1.20 Cessnock CBD bypass stage one.
1.9.
Yeah, okay. 1.9 be removed. Get a seconder. Councillor Dunn. Okay, Councillor Stapleford.
Thank you, Mayor Pinson. I am fully supportive of this, but I do have a problem. I had several phone calls from people after they read it the way it's written, thought it was a priority list. You know, like 1.1, 1.2, that they were the priorities that we were putting up. And had to explain to them that these were projects that were just ready, and that was the way that our staff had put them together. There was no priority list. So in future, can we have some explanation on these for when people read them that it's either a priority list or it's just a general list that's come from the staff?
Okay. The director wish to comment on that?
I agree with what Councillor Stapleford said. There's no priority with these tables. It's just a numbering on the left-hand column. Look, I'll take that on board for further reports of this nature where we put tables of projects up, and very seldom are they listed in priority order unless we specify in the report.
Yeah. Councillor Fitzgibbon?
For the Director of Infrastructure, I wasn't around when, I wasn't on council when this Duffy Drive bypass was suggested years ago as referred to by Councillor Olson. However, I am aware that the Duffy Drive, doesn't it link in with future transport traffic study linkages?
Director?
Yeah, through you, ma'am. The Cessnock CBD bypass by Duffy Drive was identified in the traffic and transport strategy. So it was seen as an alternate way of getting around the town. As was pointed out earlier on, it does link with Aberdare Road and then goes into West Avenue. And the traffic and transport study has a proposed call it a link road, circular road that actually then bypasses from just before you get onto West Avenue, this South Avenue, it bypasses around the back there to hook up with Wallumbyre Road. So all of these things have been identified in the traffic and transport strategy. I guess the word of caution for council is if what Councillor Ulse is saying, there's a lot of objection, we have it in a table one, which is a proposed list of projects for immediate commencement. I would suggest that if there's considerable consultation with possible objection, maybe it wouldn't be a shovel-ready project, so to speak. It might take a little bit of time, and it would be probably better listed in Table 3, which is more the medium-term commencement.
Okay. Councillor Fitzgibbon?
Thank you, Director. Look, I would like to commend the staff on putting together these proposed shovel-ready projects for the stimulus package. And I do note that they are immediate, medium-term, short-term timeframes. The most important part, I think, is that the factors that were considered were that they were shovel ready, and I think we do need to have things shovel ready. But the other thing that I did like about the whole thing was that it was also targeted at generating local employment, and it was labour intensive construction projects that would be suited to local businesses, reskilled workers, and it also provided some recreational and tourism opportunities for the city. I take on board what Councillor Olson says, and I would also be concerned if we're going to direct traffic down along Maitland Road. As a resident in one of those streets that branch off Maitland Road, I can assure you getting onto Maitland Road without traffic lights or the correct regulatory traffic signals, then having extra traffic on that road would just be a nightmare for all residents who have residential streets coming off there. So I think that might be a project that we need to have a look at.
So, Councillor, bearing in mind the director's comments and the amendment, would the mover and seconder accommodate that 1.9, the bypass stage one, be moved from immediate to the longer term?
Yeah.
So the mover and seconder comfortable with that?
I'm happy with that, Mayor Pinson.
Okay, thank you. So that eliminates the amendment. So we take the original report, take out 1.9, put it over a longer term because of the consultation as it's not shovel ready. Do we all understand that? Yes? Okay, I'm going to put it. All those in favour? Against? It's carried unanimously. Thank you. WI39, the Bridges Renewal and Heavy Vehicle Safety and Productivity Programs. So the movers there, Councillor Gray. Second, Councillor Sander. Someone speaking?
Yes, Mayor Pinson, please.
Councillor Olsen.
I just have a question on this. The bridges and that we're putting in for, we're asking for a funding off the state or federal government, Australian government, sorry. We've just moved our budget through, and if we do get any of these bridges, funding for these bridges off the state, off the federal government, are we allowed funding to support that in our budget?
So the question to the director.
Yeah, if you can please, Mayor Pinson.
Councillor Olsen, you'll see there in the recommendation that there's some funds that we're actually going to use to leverage into these grant applications. It's always good to put an application together and have some grant funds from council as part of that application. These funds that are itemised there in recommendation .2 are funds that we already have in a program. Obviously, when we're successful with grants, we utilise the grant money and our co-contribution as best we can, and whatever savings are left, we obviously, these general funds brought back in to utilise for other projects. So we've just identified projects that we have existing funding for and leverage off that to try and get the grants, Councillor Olsen.
So my understanding now is that we have that money sitting in the budget, ready to do these bridges if we get the funding from the federal government. If we don't get the money from the federal government, what is the plan to do with the money? Were you going to do it other bridges, or are we going to combine it to do one or two of these bridges? Or is that something we'll decide when we find out about the grants?
Director?
Yeah, through you, Mayor. We look at obviously re-scoping some of the projects. The two bridge projects we have, if you think of Yango Creek Bridge, we had that in this year's operational plan. We received some bushfire recovery money to enhance what we could do with that location. Obviously, if we get some federal government funding for that sort of project, we could actually build something even better, build some resilience out there, get it up a little bit higher out of the flood levels maybe. But they're the sorts of things that you can do with additional grant funding. It actually allows you to rescope the project. If we just go back to the amounts of money that are currently available to us, we would just scope the projects accordingly.
Yeah, so we're just trying to get a little bit extra money so we can do a little bit extra work. That sounds good. Thank you.
Right, no further debate.
That's it, get a better product.
Yeah.
I'll put the motion. All those in favour? It's unanimous. WI40 2020 Millfield RFS premises. Mover, Councillor Stapleford, second, Councillor Dunn. Someone speaking to it, Councillor Dunn.
Thank you, Mayor Pinson. I'd just like to first congratulate the Director of Works and Infrastructure for this. This is exactly what I was after with the notice of motion, and it allows us to have a great deal of transparency with the community as to who actually is in charge of what, and allows the community to know what us as a council have control over and what lies under the auspice of the RFS. So again, I'd just like to thank the Director of Works and Infrastructure to at least allow us to have this timeline, and hopefully all parties can come together to get a resolution fairly, you know, medium term, we'll say, to get that site built and have a home for Millfield RFS. So, thank you.
Councillor Stapleford.
Thank you, Mayor Pinson. It's terrific to see this on the move. But I just have one question. Do we have a second plan if Crawfordville Park falls over? This has been going for 15 years now. Millfield Fire Brigade have been trying to get a shed built. Crawfordville Park was the one that was murdered 15 years ago, and it bounced around and around. So I was wondering whether we had a second plan in case anything happened.
Through you, Mayor. Councillor Stapleford, we at this stage we don't have a second plan. We I think the officers have sort of spelt out in the report that Crawfordville Park is the preferred location, and we're heading down a path to make that the new home for Millfield RFS. But certainly, if it falls down for whatever reason, we'd need to consider other parcels of land that council own and look at potential subdivisions. But at this point in time, the other two that they've looked at over at Paxton and Ellalong weren't considered suitable. So we've found a site that RFS considers suitable, and we're heading down the path to try and make that the new home.
Thank you.
All those in favour? It's unanimous. Thank you. WI 42, Minutes of the Roads Review Committee meeting held on the 9th of April 2020. So moving the report. Move Councillor Burke, second Councillor Dunn. Councillor Dunn speaking.
Sorry, Mayor Pinson. I did have one question with respect to roads that went over to state government ownership. And I still haven't received a response, and it may not be something that I can get a response on tonight, but it was centred around any contributions that had been made towards infrastructure on the roads that possibly could have been moved to state government ownership. You know, for example, Wollombi Road, and what happens to those funds. As I said, I still haven't received a response, and I'm assuming I'm not going to be able to get a response tonight. I'm hoping I can.
Yeah. Director?
Through you, Mayor. No, I apologise, Councillor Dunn. I haven't seen your correspondence, but I'll certainly chase it up tomorrow and get something back out to you.
Okay. Thank you.
Councillor Lyons?
Thank you, Mayor Pinson. Just briefly, I'd like to commend this report, particularly the suggestion of moving Wollombi Road into state ownership. I can see it's probably the only solution to fixing such a large and long and dangerous stretch of road. Council certainly doesn't have the resources, and the ratepayers certainly don't have the resources to fix this. So hopefully this will be successful, and the state government will adopt this as a state road, as a main link south to the growing areas of Bellbird, Bellbird North, and through to Wollombi and through to the Central Coast. Yeah.
Thank you. No further debate. I'll put the motion. All those in favour? It's unanimous. Councillor reports.
Thank you, Mayor Pinson. I have two reports.
Councillor Gray.
Just a report to the chamber that the local health committee met just recently by phone and by distancing. Everything is going well at Curry Curry and Sasol hospitals, especially during the COVID crisis, and the facilities are something that we can be proud of. The COVID-19 protocols have been put in place, and social distance rules and monitoring have all been implemented. Some issues of theft from corridors and of masks and hand sanitizers has been observed, putting supplies of personal protective equipment at risk for some staff. So they had to put remedial actions have been put in place to reduce the opportunities for theft to occur. So a bit of a slight on some in our community. No recruitment of visiting medical officers has taken place. However, the hospitals are still pursuing this issue for Curry. My second report is a quick Hydro Community Consultative Committee the report, and just the demolition of the remaining buildings has been going well, with the schedule currently on track. COVID-19 has not disrupted the demolition. However, new work practices put in place ensure work health and safety on site. No personnel that we need was needed on site have been all removed, so they're working remotely. Also, the spent pot lining, or SPL as it's known, is continuing to be moved off site and processed to schedule. Some contamination has been identified, and remediation has taken place as required by the regulations from the EPA. Overall, remediation of the site is going well. Overall, remediation of the site is going along very well, with remediation areas of the site being seeded to lower dust levels. Currently, Hydro is working through the rezoning process, both with Cessnock and Maitland councils, to get that moving. From my observation interactions, I have full confidence the demolition process is being conducted under the industry best practice, and any complaints are taken on board quickly and promptly dealt with. Thank you.
No other reports. Councillor Dagg.
Sorry, thank you, Mayor Pinson. I do have two reports just to finalise, and I'll send these through to the minute taker for the purpose of the minutes. I attended on the 7th of May the executive meeting of the Mining and Energy Related Councils. We received a briefing from Jonathan Wheaton from DPI on the resources for region review that's been undertaken. Mr. Wheaton indicated that there had been delays in finalisation of the review due to the state government dealing with drought, fires, water security issues and now COVID. The new guidelines and resources for region program have now been completed, and it is with the Deputy Premier, who is expected to announce soon when those details will be released. But the next round will become active. It's expected, by mid-year, and eligible councils will be advised of that by that point. It's not expected, though, that the new program will be linked to royalties, which is something that the MERC committee that I'm on, that we've been advocating for really hard for a long period of time. A second report: on the 12th of May, I attended the Hunter Water Community Consultative Committee. We received a report from Hunter Water's new Managing Director, Darren Cleary. He advised that current water storage is currently just under 67%. We have had good rainfall, although this has decreased over the past month. We've moved from level 2 restrictions back to level 1, which is really good, a really positive thing for our community, and we'll remain on level 1 for the time being. The BOM long range outlook is that we are expecting to return to average rainfall, taking us to approximately 80% storage levels, which will see us well placed heading into summer. Climate outlooks have been shifting every few weeks though, so these are quite unstable, so there's still a degree of uncertainty about those predictions. There were 17 submissions received on the Belmont desalination plant project. DPI are currently considering these, with planning approval expected in due course, with design work continuing in the meantime. If the predicted rainfall does come, we won't need that desalination plan, but we'll keep doing the work and have the project on the shelf ready to go in case things change. Water restrictions overall have seen a 15% reduction in water usage on top of normal climatic use, so the community should be really commended for their efforts in their water efficiency and savings. IPART are looking at releasing their report on the 16th of June, and Hunter Water are expecting a stabilisation and a potential slight reduction in prices for their customers. COVID-19 has been the number one focus for Hunter Water by ensuring safety of both their workers and the community. So they've changed the way in which they've undertaken their work by crews, increasing disinfecting of their trucks and rostering, things like that, which, most workplaces have had to undertake as well. Assistance for customers who've had trouble paying their bills, though, has grown by tenfold, which is really concerning. So they've been, Hunter Water have been proactive and have put in place a range of measures to assist, including putting accounts on hold with no interest, stopping the practice of restricting water meters, and generally working with customers as not one response will suit all. So, you know, if there are people in our LGA who are suffering financial hardship, you know, I implore them to reach out to Hunter Water because they're keen to work really closely to ensure that, you know, their bills won't place any further, you know, undue pressure on those people. And finally, just to finish, investigations are being undertaken in the development of a new dam as part of the Lower Hunter Water Security Plan. This is, though, in the very, very early stages. Water recycling has strong community support, and so officers are exploring options for recycled drinking water in addition to recycled non-potable water for use by councils, for example, on our sporting fields and the like. Hunter Water has been working with the Awabakal and the Warramai communities as well to create children's resource and education book in an effort to shape water use by future generations. And that's it from me.
Thank you. And at that note, I'll close the meeting. Thank you.